your stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it.
Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a child's imaginary playmate seems to have hands covered in blood. A sailor finds that something has been haunting him from one of the places he's been stationed. A resident ghost wants their turn to control the TV channel. And after a visit to an abandoned former location of his work, a listener finds there's something demonic attached to him. Who doesn't get that feeling when they go visit their old workplaces?
You know? Yeah, really.
It kind of goes along with the territory. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Plus, I should note, a listener seems to have found an EVP-ish thing in one of our episodes.
Okay, because we get this all the time.
We get it all the time. I go back, I listen, and more times than not, in fact, I think only been one other time, we've gone back and said, yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those other times.
Okay.
And it wasn't necessarily an EVP that occurred in our studio as we were doing the show. It's on the actual call itself that we had. And it's creepy.
So the listeners need to brace themselves because it may be their call.
Someone's call. Oh. Who's going to win the lucky EVP call today here at Real Ghost Stories Online? If you win it, you can win a 2-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express. For having the demon on your end of the receiver. That's the name of the game. Demon on the receiver.
Demon on the line.
Yep. Okay. Demon on the line.
Okay.
Too bad I didn't do that back in the radio days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would fly very well. We need to get a sponsor for Demon on the Line. Do you think Merv's Car Lot would be a good one for that? Okay. We'll play that back here in just a little bit at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was pleasantly surprised because I always listen to them.
Yeah.
I don't always reply because I get so many of them. I should say that because I know a lot of folks send those notes in and then there's just so many. It's hard to reply back to every single one. No, it's not that because of this. But I do pay attention when we get those.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and check just to be sure. Today, jackpot.
Okay.
At least I think it is. So we'll play that back in a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To kick things off today, though, let's go to a letter and comes into us from Listener. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, original.
That'd be fun. We should have named one of our kids that.
Mm-hmm.
Listener? Yeah. Hey, Brewskis, I've been listening to your show for about a year now. I found you on Halloween and stuck around for the quality stories and hilarious commentary. I live in a very haunted house. I don't think that there's anything intentionally malicious here, but strange things happen almost daily. Today, my boyfriend and I shared an experience with a shadow figure. I and my boyfriend and our dog live alone in a small, older Victorian house, as most of the houses in our city are. So, there we are. I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm standing in the dining room. Two rooms are connected by a very large open doorway, almost like there isn't a separation between the rooms. My boyfriend, I'll call him Jack, was standing angled towards me, facing away from the kitchen slightly, and I was getting ready to leave for the day using the mirror in the dining room. As I'm looking into the mirror and checking my outfit, I see my dog run behind Jack and go into the living room. After a few minutes, I walk past Jack into the living room because she was being suspiciously quiet, when usually that only happens when she's tearing something up, but she knows she's not supposed to. And my dog is not in the living room. I turn around towards Jack, confused and a little creeped out, and his eyes get really wide, and he says, "Wait, you see it too?" We both saw a short shadow run past us into the living room. thinking it was our dog, we checked the house and our dog was outside in the backyard. We don't have a doggy door or any way for her to get into the house without us letting her in. It's one of the many experiences we've had in this house. Just a little bit creepy. I'll be sure to write in again. Thanks, guys.
A Victorian age house can hold so many things from so many generations. It's hard to know what it was.
Yeah, until you get a little more definitive, definition on the ghost, It's hard to really know exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, it's hard to know if it was a child or a previous pet or what it was.
I mean, yeah, a lot of children do use doggy doors.
There's no doggy door.
I don't know.
Okay.
It is. It's difficult when you have something that goes back that far.
Yeah.
So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear it. Patricia writes in, hello. Wanted first and foremost, thank you for reading my story. I want you both to know how much your show has helped me realize that I'm not alone, nor am I crazy. Wrote in about having a medical procedure done and seeing an old woman in my parents' bedroom, but chalked it up to the medication, but then turned out to be a relative of my father. That was not the first experience in that room, or that house for that matter. Many years ago, my father had an experience in that same room. He said that he and my mother were asleep, and he felt what he thought was one of the kids climb up from the foot of the bed and then literally bear hugged. He sat up and looked over to my mother, who was pregnant at the time, and yelled to her, but she never stirred once. He said that the more he fought to be free, the tighter this bear hug would become. He said out of fear, he began to pray, and then this violent bear hug became a loving embrace. He felt nothing but love and peace. I was really young when this happened and thought maybe it was his loved one that I saw many years later. There's another experience that my father and I have in common, but did not find out until years later. When I was younger, my father never talked about his experience at that time. It was something you really did not talk about. So imagine to my surprise as an adult that, again, we have similar experiences in my childhood home. I'll share that one another time. Thanks for building up to that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony and Jenny, and keep up the great work. You have no idea how many people you are helping. Tell us the next story.
A bear hug. There could be worse things.
And what's interesting is that it goes from, like, you know, paralyzing almost to warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I don't know.
Can something dark change its feel emotionally to someone? You know, from being paralyzing to suddenly warm and cuddly as a means to disguise what it is?
You know, I would say yes and no. I'd say there are some listeners that are probably sensitive enough that they're not going to be fooled, but then there's some that are just, they're going to be the ones that are going to believe it's a little girl they're playing with on the other side of the Ouija board when it's not.
Well, it also makes you wonder in a case like that is, maybe it's nothing dark. Maybe it was just something that didn't know its own strength. And could sense the fear and, I didn't mean that. I was trying to give you a hug, but I'm sensing you're thinking I'm a demon. And, you know, it's like a kid, you know, maybe this is not a kid, but it's just not knowing what impact you may be having on someone else physically. You know, kids, obviously, especially our little girls, all elbows. And it's very easy for them to inflict a lot of pain when they're just sitting on you and then they try and move around and then you get an elbow in some area and it really is painful, but they don't mean anything by it. But they don't know.
Right.
I wonder if that's the same.
You know what I was wondering was he tried to wake his wife up, who's pregnant and asleep. Never a good idea to do that. But I'm wondering if, you know, pregnancy can stir up the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
For the person that's pregnant, obviously.
Sure.
Can it stir it up just in general within the household?
Yeah.
And make it... Okay, so maybe that's part of the reason this happened to him.
Are you saying can stir up the paranormal as far as being, like, sensitive to things for that individual who's pregnant?
Well, yeah, because we've talked about that. But I'm saying just in general for that household, maybe meaning that paranormal activity has spiked for everybody in that house because there's somebody in it that's pregnant.
I would see that making sense. It's kind of like the whole teenage girl thing where there's talks of poltergeists and things of that nature when they're going through that stage.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, it's just a matter of those, you know, emotions being higher and those senses being, you know, more alert, I guess, than other times. Mm-hmm. So I would think so. My guess, anyway.
It's my guess, too.
Paul writes in, I wrote in once before about a vision I had of my grandmother. Listening to your show is making me wonder whether images I had as a child were real or just imaginary. As a child, I used to see different images on the walls, but I assumed that it was just the shadows and textures from the plaster. I still see those images even today. I admit I had a big imagination. That is what I was told to call me when I thought I saw something. Once when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I was lying alone in my bed at night. My face was able to look straight out into the hallway. I saw a figure walk down the hall and turn into one of the rooms. This could have been my mother moving around at night, but as a child, I should have known my mother's walk and movement. Immediately after that, I saw an image, which I assumed to be male, standing in the center of the hall. All it did was stand. I was startled, so I called out to my mother, who came to me right away. I told her of both of the images that I saw. She assured me that it was my imagination. That was enough to comfort me for the night. And that was the only occurrence that time. I cannot say this was real or guess who it was. My father had passed away a few years earlier and left his wife with 4 children. He was ill for a year and passed away in the same house. I do not know how many years or months had passed between the incidents. I always wonder if that was my father looking in on his children. I never saw that image again, but even as a child, I was startled. I remember not feeling fear. It makes sense that a father would want to protect and not frighten his children. Since I was the youngest, I never really knew him. Many years later, a neighbor next door was talking about my father. She told me that she would see him in her dreams walking around the house. He said he was protecting the house. Those were only dreams, but they seemed to make sense. I recently moved back into the same house to take care of my mother. There have never been any incidents over the years, or even now. There's one twist to the story, which is why I'm writing this. The night I referred to, my brother and I were sleeping in bunk beds. I know they were new, since as a child there's something exciting about them. I do not know how new they were, since this was so long ago. We had the bed stacked for a while, but as we grew older, we used them as 2 separate twins. On your show, you mentioned bunk beds, and this makes me think about some of the thoughts I would have when I was in them. I think that I have some level of sensitivity, but that has been repressed since I was a child. This could explain other factors in my life. Just assume everything is intuition. Honestly, I do not wish to delve into sensitivity. I think it could cause too much trouble. But I do think sensitives have a choice. I have a strange theory about how bunk beds might somehow channel spiritual energy. I do not know how to put that theory into words without making me sound too bizarre. I'll think about that. Thank you for all the information and entertainment you provide. Paul in Youngstown, Ohio.
Thanks. Sensitives have a choice. I'm wondering if he means a choice whether or not they choose to see things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you have a choice on whether or not you are sensitive, but you have a choice on whether or not you hone that skill in, or if you try and turn it off as much as possible.
I think that it's very much based on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? I think some are able to flip that switch on or off. Mm-hmm. As far as, and I think others would love to turn it off.
Because like for me, I have no flipping idea. It's just,
it's there.
It's there.
Yeah. We have some folks who are like, oh, I learned to detach from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How?
Right.
You know, I think it's very much an individual basis. So, yeah, for some, sure. Others, not so much.
It makes me wonder if his neighbor was sensitive in that she saw him wandering around their house and communicated via a dream,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe she was just dreaming about her neighbor for whatever odd reason, just because people dream weird stuff.
Sure.
But it kind of makes me wonder if maybe he came back to tell her, because she might have been the only one around that would have gotten that message.
It's true, and also to maybe validate to him that, hey, there was something to that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience and that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All right, this goes back to an episode in December of last year where we had a caller, and I'm just gonna play the little snippet here, and then we can decide if we want to play the whole call back again. May want to for a little context. It was a very emotional call that someone had in regards to a loved one passing. I'm going to turn this drone music off here so we can have full audio of the call. The thing that, I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to play the call. We'll talk after.
Okay.
And then you can all decide what you want to decide. So here is the piece of the call. I'll play the little piece that has the audio in it. It's about 1 or 2 seconds in. And then we'll stop it and discuss.
I firmly believe this is him, but crying is so upsetting. I've talked to 2 mediums.
You hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Now, it's similar in nature to the kind of whoosh we had back with Richard in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
I have no confirmation from this lady if this happened. If she was opening a patio door, which is what I thought Richard was doing,
right?
Or what the setting was, I can say the rest of this call relatively quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't appear as though there was other things going on around her in other portions of the call, so that's what made it really stand out. Other calls, we get some weird noises, but the rest of the call also had noises in it, and I'm just assuming they were active. So here are the pieces again.
Crying. It's so upsetting.
There's the whoosh right there.
I've talked to.
Sounds like wind to me.
You think it's wind?
It sounds like wind. I'm going to go with wind.
Does that make you feel better?
It makes me feel a lot better.
Are you saying that simply to feel better?
No, it sounds like the noise we heard from Richard in Chattanooga, but it also just sounds like wind.
It's interesting the way and the timing that it shows up on the call, because it's almost like she's trying to validate what was going on and what had been experienced, and then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm wondering if there is something more to it.
Yeah.
So, do you want to hear the whole call again, or just go back and listen to the episode if you want to hear the whole thing? It's about a 5-minute call.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if there's nothing else in it.
That's the only piece, and it comes towards the end of the call.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let everybody know where it was. Let's see here, or what episode it was on. We just go back to the email, found an EVP in your show. Matt from Cape Cod, I got to give credit to for finding that.
The caller is Carla?
I believe it was Carla, yeah.
Okay.
And it was in the episode The Restless, which I believe was around December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he noted it as. But the episode itself was called The Restless. So you can look up that one and you'll find that call if you want to hear the entire thing. It's at about 14, 15 minutes into the show is when the call starts.
Do you want to play it again? It's up to you.
I think a lot of folks are kind of curious.
Okay.
Let's take a listen to that full call again. And let's take a listen. Here we go. This is from the beginning.
Hi, Tony. My name is Carla. I wrote in earlier this afternoon. I was satisfied with what I wrote. So I wanted to give you guys a call. I would not consider myself sensitive. I mean, I've gotten, you know, bad feelings about places and things throughout my life. And I had some experience with a Ouija board when I was, you know, a teenager. I was very active. But I've always been interested in the paranormal, but I've never really had an experience until 3 years ago. My 11-and-a-half-year-old son took an accidental overdose of pain medication and passed away in his bed. And I went to wake him and found him. This was obviously so devastating. I've been back in his room twice, but it's just kind of like PTSD. That's all I can see when I go in there. So I don't, but I've had some, you know, I think I've had interactions with him. He's a couple times I got phone calls from his cell, like 6 months after we'd had it canceled. I would look at my phone and it would tell me that Bennett was calling. And I would answer, and there would be no one there. And there were a set of fingerprints on the ottoman made out of candle wax. And he loved to play in my candle, and I would always fuss at him about that. So I thought, you know, that's just his way of letting me know that he's around. We also had some incidents of, like, the dog's kennel coming open and things in the middle of the night. And I just kind of talked to him and said, you know, please don't do that anymore. And it stopped. And sometimes I feel him really strongly. Like I said, it's been devastating. But and I've started to feel better and be at peace with it until the other day, my daughter, she's 16, they were incredibly close. They were 22 months and 2 days apart. And she said, you know, I had this thing happen last night. She said, I heard crying. And I thought it was you. And then she said, I realized that it was Bennett. She said, I recognized it. And then she said, something stood up from the foot of the bed, from the floor at the foot of the bed, and walked toward the door. And then she heard him say, goodbye, Sissy, I love you. And she said she just lay there. And she said in a little while, she felt the bed dip, and she felt something crawl up and lay down beside her in the spot where he used to lie when they would take naps together. And I firmly believe this is him, but crying is so upsetting. I've talked to two mediums. One said that he was in the light, and one said that he wasn't and he needed to go. They both said that he obviously has a strong attachment to me and doesn't want to leave. And that's very concerning to me. I mean, I want him to be at peace. He had a really difficult life. He suffered from depression and some other mental illnesses. And I just hate the thought of him not being at peace. So if you or Jenny or anyone else out there has any suggestions as to what I might do or what I could do to help him, or what I've never had, like, physical contact with him, and that would just be a dream for me to have, you know, to experience it like that. But anyway, I appreciate your show, and I'm an EPP, and thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, I heard the whoosh at the beginning as well.
Yeah.
And at the end there, didn't it sound like there was almost something else talking in the background slightly? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that. I think it's just simply wind. And you know, if Carla's listening and she wants to just let us know if she can remember what she was doing when she called in, you know, that might be, I think most people, and she's not called in, but maybe a couple times, she might remember where she was or what she was doing when she was calling in.
Well, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't know. I suspect there could be something there. It's hard to know for sure. So let's leave it at that and see what she says, if she remembers what she was up to. But yeah. There were some odd sounds in that call. 855-853-4802, our phone number, if you want to share your real ghost stories with us and maybe have a ghost talk on the receiver as well. Let's go to another letter. Natasha. A few months back, my parents left for 2 weeks. During this time, I took care of my 4-year-old sister at my parents' house in a small, safe village. Once before my parents left, my little sister began a friendship with what we thought had been an imaginary friend. She said her new friend had been young with blonde hair. Her name was Lola. 3 days into the first week, I had been cleaning up in the hall. I was watching my sister in the corner of my eye. I looked up to see her playing with a blanket, but when I looked properly, I noticed she had been playing tug of war, and the blanket had been held by both ends. It was then I started feeling uncomfortable. Later that night, I'd been lying in bed when I heard my sister's little footsteps. I was curious to see how she would behave if she thought I had been sleeping, so I kept silent. She picked up a brush and gently played with my hair. After a minute or so, she ran off. Got out of bed to tuck her back in when I noticed she had been fast asleep. I knew she had been sleeping, and she hadn't pretended to sleep. The next morning, I woke up my sister to get dressed. The first thing she said was, "Lola loves to play with your hair at night, but don't let her. She has blood all over her hands. I froze and began to feel sick. She then added, "It's not her blood, though, don't worry," and cheerfully skipped off. The following night, I'd been cleaning it. It was late, and I was picking up clothes outside my sister's room when I heard a humming tune in a male's voice. I thought to myself, that's a spooky toy she has. Then heard her laughing, and I went in and told her to lay back down and to go to sleep, and she replied, "No, Tasha let him finish his song." That night, she slept in my room. The night my parents got home, I was chatting with my mother. I hadn't mentioned anything about the experience until my mother began staring at something behind me. She then shouted, "Who is he?" She exclaimed that she saw a man with dark hair behind me. The next day, my sister suddenly stood up and said, "I like playing with Lola. I wish that man didn't make her go in there all the time, though," pointing to a cupboard in the hall. At night, I hear crying and sometimes see shadows. My sister still speaks about Lola and the bad man, but I've never seen him or Lola. I'm afraid of her room at night and always feel like I'm being watched whenever I'm near her room. I don't know the story behind Lola or the man. I don't think I want to.
Well, I think when somebody says, "Oh, don't worry, she's got blood on her hands, but it's not hers." It's like, what's worse than "she's got blood on her hands"? Oh, it's not hers. That's worse.
Yeah, that takes it up just a step.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's one of those interesting things where as a child, you just kind of dismiss some things as, yeah, oh, no big deal. That's not your bug. It's great. Let's keep playing. It's a lovely song you're playing there. Oh, creepy man. Okay, go back in the cupboard with blood on your hands. Well, it's not yours, but it's all just normal. Yeah.
That's messed up.
I don't blame you for being creeped out by your sister's room.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go in there either. Allie writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your show for at least a year now. Thank you for your hard work. I love listening and listening to others share paranormal experiences while I'm working on the computer. I myself have had many experiences and love hearing others share their own, although I have many stories. Something strange happened this morning that prompted me to write into your show. I'm a Philly native, but currently my mom and I live in Tel Aviv, Israel. This morning we noticed a number of police cars parked outside of the building across from ours. Something clearly had happened. Then a black van pulled up. Several men, including a rabbi, stepped out of the van and walked into the building, taking with them an empty stretcher. Not long after, they returned to the van carrying a covered body before loading it into the back of the van. Clearly, someone had passed away across the street. Shortly thereafter, my mom was cleaning dishes. We have a number of brooms and mops leaning against the refrigerator. From the corner of her right side, she saw a white figure flash by before all of the brooms crashed to the floor. From the other room, my mom called out, "Hey, are you just in here?" I said no, as I had been in my room for the past 20 minutes quietly working. She then proceeded to tell me what had happened. No one else was in the house. Many might not connect the dots between the recently deceased neighbor and the white figure in our home. However, both my mom and I have had many experiences with ghosts. Therefore, I find it no coincidence at all. I assume that right after we die, the initial shock takes time for us to process. It seems to me this person may be confused and not realize that they are dead yet.
You know, I think so. I think, you know, you get bad news. Some people throw a hissy fit. Oh, what's the worst news you could get? You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're running around trying to figure out stuff, what you do next if you're a ghost. And I could see a confused spirit just, you know, accidentally doing things.
Especially if you suddenly discover your new ability to go through walls,
mm-hmm,
and doors and like, and nothing's off limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just, you know, sometimes physicality has bearing and sometimes it doesn't. And you, you know, wave your hand through something 1 minute and nothing happens. The next one you wave it and you knock over a bunch of brooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Interesting story. I was kind of afraid we were going to hear like something to the effect of, and then I saw them go in there and all the lights started flickering on and off and like there was an exorcism or something going on in the house next door.
Oh,
But no, just someone died. That's all.
That's all.
No big deal. Thank you for the letter. Let's go to Kevin. Hello, Tony and Jenny. The story starts in 2010. So I'm in the Navy and was previously stationed in Pearl Harbor. After I left and moved on to my next duty station, I started to have all these weird occurrences. First, I used to hear knocking on the window. What made this weird was that I live on the third floor of my apartment complex. The only access to the windows was my balcony, and no one was getting on in without a huge ladder. Most nights, when sitting on the couch, I used to see movement in the corner of my eyes, but I never really saw anything directly, but always just outside my peripheral vision. So I have this thing that I'm scared to leave any doors open in my room, but one night, I decided I don't care. Tonight, I'm tired, but that was a mistake on my part, because the one night I didn't care, I felt someone or something get onto my bed. I was laying in my right side, looking out the window, and when I felt the bed sink in, it made me roll that direction. I got so freaked out, I slept with the lights on all night. A few nights later, I was lying on the couch watching Ghost Adventures. I guess I had fallen asleep on the couch, but don't remember, and woke up in my bed the next morning. The first thing I did when I woke up was text my wife, my girlfriend at that time, and she asked what the hell I was doing that last night. I didn't know what she was talking about, but she explained everything to me. Turns out I called her about 15 times, not saying a word, but just dialing and letting it run. She'd call back, but I wouldn't answer. But I'd call back and do the same thing. She also told me she could hear shuffling in the background. And the last time I called her, she said I spoke or someone spoke in a whisper saying, "You should hang up the phone right now." Turns out I did the same thing to my mom that same night. After I told my mom about what I said to my wife, she told my grandmother, or my grandfather. As a Native American, we believe and have ceremonies done to help you heal. So my grandfather, who's a medicine man, tried something I didn't even know he knew how to do. He built a small fire, did a small prayer, started chants. After he finished, he threw some sage into the fire, and a huge puff of smoke came out of the fire, and something ran through the smoke. My grandfather said it looked like a sailor that wore the same white uniform I did. He ended up telling me that something probably attached to me when I was leaving Hawaii. Sorry, the story was so long, but it was crazy chain of events. I don't see or hear things anymore. Heard a story someone wrote in about skinwalkers. Got some crazy stories about them. Thanks for sharing my story.
The voice saying, "You should hang up the phone." That's so creepy because, for one, you're doing stuff in your sleep you don't even realize you're doing, but mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like you're alone.
Would you hang up the phone?
Well, but the thing is, if you're asleep, do you know if you hung up the phone or not?
No, but I think they heard it on their end.
Like telling them to
yes,
hang it up?
Yes,
oh.
Yes. They heard it on that end. When they were listening for him and waiting for him to respond, and suddenly they hear this voice saying that.
See, I thought it was the voice in the background telling him to hang up
the
phone.
No, because I don't think he was even aware.
Oh.
So when you get that message, do you hang up?
Yeah.
You don't stick around to see what's about to happen?
Nope, I'm done. I'm done. I would not.
We'll do an experiment on this at some point.
No, I don't think so.
Does Jenny hang up the phone? That is the question. Yeah, I think you, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Yes. I think I'd hang up too, because I don't think I'd want to know exactly what's about to happen.
Mm-mm.
After that turn of events. Thank you for the story. That was good. Hannah writes in, "Growing up, there were always strange things going on in my house. My family lived in one house all through my childhood and another house through my teenage years. By the time we'd moved to the house in my teenage years, my whole family was so used to odd paranormal things happening that it had almost become for us a laughing matter. For example, around my junior year of high school and through my senior year, whenever I was home alone, the laundry room door would open and slam shut repeatedly for minutes at a time. It wasn't like I was just hearing it either. I could walk out in the hall and watch the door open and slam shut and open and slam shut over and over. I checked, but there weren't any gusts of wind that were responsible. It seemed as though someone was just very irritatedly opening and slamming it shut over and over again. Sometimes, though, it would be like I could hear someone walking around on the upstairs floor where the laundry room was, and then that someone would open the door to the laundry room, walk around, and slam the door shut again. Again, this only ever happened when I was alone. Of course, the first time I heard that, it weirded me out, so I went upstairs to check and make sure I didn't have a super noisy robber or something, but there wasn't anyone there. After I was sure there wasn't anyone in my house, I went back downstairs to find that someone had turned the TV on, which was weird because, again, there wasn't anyone there but me. I'd have tried to explain it away as some sort of fluke, but not only had the TV been turned on, but it had been changed from the show I was watching before to Telenova. Now, it's not like that's a common channel for a TV to somehow slip into. I turned off the TV. Almost immediately, heard the footsteps and the laundry room door slamming again. So I went upstairs to close the door and check everything out again and went back down to the basement, and the TV had been turned on again to the same channel. This happened a few more times before I finally just gave up and let whoever it was so insisted on watching that show have their way. Later, I joked with my mom that the newest ghost in our house must be a housewife, since it had such a love for Mexican soap operas and slamming our laundry room door. She was never rude or bothersome other than changing the TV channel whenever I was home alone. Which, looking back, really wasn't even that bad. Honestly, I still enjoy watching Mexican soap operas when I'm home alone. I have a lot of other stories about the odd goings-on that happened while I was growing up that I'll share with you later. I appreciate your show and all your hard work. Thanks for being so great.
I think it's funny that she kind of developed the habit of enjoying the activity that the ghost would do.
Uh-huh.
You know, can you get in the habit of where you become so accustomed that you feel more comfortable with that going on?
I guess so. You know, in some cases, people just kind of make the peace.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, make the driving out or have to take on the risk of that and what may happen if you attempt to take that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess if you can just kind of be cool with it, then you don't ever have to go down that road.
Yeah.
But I think it takes quite a person to do that. Now, I couldn't.
No, I don't think I think I'd have an aversion to Telenova from then on.
Yeah.
I would not want that.
I'd be done. Tori writes in, hey, Jenny and Tony, first off, I'd like to say thanks for the awesome show. It makes my days at work fly by. My name's Tori, born and raised in Michigan. I'd like to tell you about what I consider a bittersweet love story. A little backstory, my grandpa and grandma met when they were 16 and married young, but their love was something I strive for every day with my husband. So as you can imagine, when my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer, it was devastating. He fought hard for years and eventually lost the battle about 6 years ago. My grandmother was heartbroken and quickly fell into a deep depression. Luckily, my aunt had just bought a house right across the street from her, and her family was there to take care of my grandma and make sure that she was okay. Well, about a month after his passing, my grandma was sleeping pretty much all day, getting up every so often to take her medication and eat some food my aunt had brought her. One day, she accidentally had taken her blood pressure medication twice. With her getting up and going back to sleep so often, she forgot that she had already taken it for the day. She had overdosed and was sitting out on her front porch in the pouring rain in her PJs. Soon after, my aunt, who was making dinner at the time, received a text from my grandma, which I'd like to express at this time. She has no idea how a phone works other than to make a call, let alone send a text. The text to my aunt said, help me. Concerned that she had actually gotten a text from my mom, she looked out her front window to see her sitting on her porch, soaking wet and looking into space. She took her to the hospital where she had to get her stomach pumped and put through various tests. When my aunt went back to her home to get some things for mom, she found the phone, plugged into the charger but not turned on. She checked her messages on her phone to find the one that was sent to her and it was gone. My aunt, being a very religious woman, does not believe in the supernatural, but at this point, she asked if it was her dad who sent the message to save her mom from a drug overdose. And at that point, she got a warm feeling on her shoulder. She immediately broke down in tears. She knew it was her dad looking over the love of his life, even after his passing. I'm sorry the story was so long, but I hope to hear it on the show. I have more stories from my grandpa that I'll send in another time. Keep up the good work, guys.
That's a sweet story. I really like that one.
Yeah. It's a little example of ghosts using technology.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we don't hear a whole lot of.
I bet you that's going to change.
You think it's just more and more people use it or as more and more people who are familiar with using it die?
Yeah, I think the second one. Because okay. I think a lot of the people that are just passing away naturally but with age, mm-hmm. they may have knowledge, you know, of how to use technology.
To a certain extent.
Sure, but it may not be their primary go-to. The way everybody our age and younger is going to have chronic neck issues from looking down at their screen all the time.
Sure.
So I see that, you know, I think it's going to increase over time mm-hmm. with more people that live by it, can't live without it, mm-hmm. start to pass away.
I could see that. It'll be interesting when we're like of the age of passing and we're old and our kids are using whatever the technologies of the day. They'll be like, God, I keep getting these ghost texts. Who use text messages anymore?
Do you remember when they had to like spell everything out?
That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so annoying. I can tell I'm getting a text message from my dead parents because it's got the little dot, dot, dot there and they just take forever to send it.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, that's what we're using because God knows what they're going to have at that point. That'd be kind of interesting. We're using the technology of old mm-hmm. when at that point it's something different. Whereas we're still seeing, I guess, a lot of communications being done the old-fashioned way from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily always technology, but it's interesting. John writes in, I've worked in a nursing home for 20 years. It was a converted railroad coal company that was building dating back to the 1880s. After we moved into a state-of-the-art building, the old one had sat vacant ever since. While I worked the 11 to 7 shift, there's sometimes things happen, but nothing threatening. That all changed in the summer of 2014. I decided since vandals had broken in, I'd go see the old building that was where I started my medical career. Had I known that the vandals were holding satanic rituals, I'd have never given it a thought. When I walked into the building, a sense of doom and evil immediately hit me. Rooted off to an overactive imagination and the fact that it was empty and in disrepair. When I saw pentagrams and black candles in one of the residents' rooms, I got sick to my stomach. All sort of nowhere, a stench I cannot describe filled the room. Don't even remember getting outside, but it took a matter of seconds. I was also very aware of my crucifix around my neck. Fast forward a few days, my transmission went into my car, 10,000 miles on a Jeep and the tranny going. The dealer asked me, how in the hell did you twist up all the parts in the transmission? Luckily, it was covered. My dog started acting strange or not go in certain rooms. Things would go missing and turn up in plain view days later. Then it got scary. My wife calling my name from downstairs, but would be at work. My wife hearing me call her name, but I would be blocks away walking the dog. What really got us to stop and get help was my blessed medal being ripped from my neck, heading downstairs for a cup of coffee one morning. Just got pulled from the chain as I was making coffee. My wife came down, not much later, crying, holding her rosary beads in her hand, but they were no longer beads, just a melted ball of glass. Luckily, I have a Facebook friend who was not a ghost hunter, but had a similar situation happen and put me in touch with people who work with the Catholic Church. After telling them all I could, they told me I had a demon attachment. My heart stopped, but it got worse. They told me only the most powerful could destroy or touch blessed holy objects. Being 900 miles away, they told me what I needed to do. They sent me blessed Saint Benedict medals to wear. Get in a state of grace and burn the blessed incense that they sent along with prayers of rebuking. All free, never asked for anything except for the time I'd be doing this so they could pray for my protection. They said to do it with the authority, but in Christ's name and His alone. I wish I could tell you I was brave and fearless, but I was far from it. I think my faith in God is what got me through it. My wife and I started upstairs, and unlike in the movies, nothing dramatic happened in my relief. Except as soon as we started, my dog started howling during the whole time, and a drop in temp. I'm no longer a skeptic to anyone's stories. As for the devil worship at the old building, seems they got caught when a fire broke out during one of their rituals.
So, did everything get better?
I hope so. I'd like to know.
I would too.
I would guess by the story ending there, but it would be interesting to hear.
Yeah.
The follow-up to that. like the Unsolved Mysteries update,
mm-hmm.
where they go to the fake call center and then like, and now an update. And the thing on the corner of the screen says update. You're like, ooh, what happens?
See, I don't know how I feel about the do-it-yourself exorcisms. I'd rather just have somebody who knows what they're doing come in and do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard of that. I've heard of Skype exorcisms.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
which I'm also kind of iffy about. But I've heard of, you know, praying and blessings, but I guess maybe I'm just not familiar with that being a common occurrence.
See, I'm a big DIYer, but I'm not going to DIY that.
On the next DIY exorcism.
Yeah.
That could be great for the DIY channel, like an After Dark show. Goes from like home improvement shows to that. It's like Travel Channel. You know, they have, you know, it's, you know, wandering around eating food and then suddenly they're, it's ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have a little paranormal on DIY? DIY, demon away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all these people who do their own DIY things. There's a lot. I mean, you could have the Skype guy on there too.
Yeah.
That would be one hell of an episode.
It would.
Yes. If you're a longtime listener to the show, you know what we're talking about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, you guys. I was binge listening, still trying to get caught up, and I actually heard a story. I think I'm caught up to like November now. But I heard one of the stories that I called in about going to Savannah, and I had my son with me, and the door shut on me while we were on a tour together. And I thought that was such a cool story that I shared. But you guys had asked if that was at the Pink Restaurant, and I know exactly what restaurant you're talking about. My husband and I did eat at that house actually on our honeymoon, and it's amazing food, but we didn't have anything paranormal happen to us. However, on a different trip that we were down there, that when we went down there, this jogged my memory. We had our daughter with us, and it was just my husband, myself, and my daughter, and my parents. My son, the little one that I was talking about in the other story, was not born yet. And we'd gone down there for, I believe it was like spring break or something. And I was off with my parents doing something, and my husband was with my daughter. And she had a Girl Scouts project that she had to do and get those shade, or what do you call it? When you take the shading of a tombstone of a certain date, so it was kind of like a scavenger hunt that was assigned to her while she was home, and my husband thought it was cool to take her to one of the historical cemeteries down there and do that. I wasn't with them when it happened, but when he told me, he would kill me if he knew that I was calling you about it. But he told me about it, and I thought, oh, that's kind of creepy. So they've gone to Bonaventure Cemetery, which I'm sure you guys heard of. The next time you go to Savannah, Tony, you would love it. You are a cemetery lover. You would love this cemetery right up your alley. It's absolutely beautiful. There's lots of historical figures that are buried there. Beautiful, unique tombstones. And it's set up against, I think it's the Savannah River. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember the name of the river. And in the olden days, they used to have picnics there. It's an absolutely gorgeous cemetery. The next time you guys go down there, check it out. So my husband took my daughter in there, and they're walking around. And he said he ran into an old man who he thought they were the only ones in the cemetery. And the cemetery is humongous, so it would be really hard to know if you were the only one in there or not. And this older gentleman came up and said, oh, you're doing the rubbings, or is it? I guess that's what it's called, the rubbings, of the tombstones. Let me show you a cool one to check out. So he took him over to this other area, and my husband and daughter were walking behind him. And he said, do this one. And my husband said, he said, this one is of my son. And my husband looked at the date, and the son died. It was like 1912. And he turned around to ask the gentleman, well, wait a minute, this is 1912. This means, and the man was gone. He asked my daughter, did you see the man? And she said, yeah. And he said, did you see him leave? And she said, no, I didn't. And it gave me goosebumps. But if that's going to happen anywhere, it's going to be in Savannah. But he was positive, the guy that the tombstone that he was going to rub off for my daughter, if that came out wrong, he was going to do the little rubbing of, was 1912. This guy passed away, and the guy said that was his son, and the kid on the tombstone, he was only like 19 when he passed away after my husband did the math. So I thought that was a really cool story, and I love your show. I'm still catching up. I'm an EPP member, still catching up on that. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
So beware of strange old people in the cemetery.
I guess that's the lesson to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's the setting. I mean, if you've been there, you know what it's like. And then to have that happen there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why. I remember that project when I was a Girl Scout going and doing that. And it's like, I don't know what the point is. All it does is creep out a bunch of little girls.
That's a great project for a bunch of kids. I don't think I've ever done that.
I actually got to skip it. Our whole troop skipped it.
Really?
Yeah, we were supposed to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it was all set up.
Did you get a badge for it? Like, even though you didn't do it? Like, oh, we're just going to think you did.
No.
What the hell does a badge look like for that?
I don't know.
Is it like a little crazy, little zombie or something?
I don't know. What happened was one of the Girl Scouts' mothers had just passed away, and we weren't going to go hang out at the cemetery. It was just too new.
Yeah, that could be a little odd.
So we didn't do it.
I still want to know what the badge looks like on
that. I do too.
Somebody's going to know that one, so I'm just curious. All right, there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please help us keep on the air by becoming an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP. And trust me, you'll enjoy it. About 90 or so bonus episodes, our EPP episodes, just our best stories are on those ones. You get to binge away on those, plus exclusive video content and more. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.